Thanks for joining with us at Homilies from Holy Cross. Holy Cross Catholic Church is a parish in Kernersville, North Carolina, within the Diocese of Charlotte. Our podcast is a daily way for us to hear the gospel proclaimed and the word preached. So we're going to dive in and see what God wants to speak to our hearts today. Our gospel for Monday of Holy Week comes from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. They gave him a dinner for him there, and Martha served, while Lazarus was one of those reclining at table with him. Mary took a liter of costly perfumed oil, made from genuine aromatic nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and dried them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of oil. Then Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, and the one who would betray him, said, "Why was this oil not sold for 300 days' wages and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and held the money bag and used to steal the contributions. So Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Let her keep this for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The large crowd of the Jews found out that he was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And the chief priests plotted to kill Lazarus too, because many of the Jews were turning away and believing in Jesus because of him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I want to look at two figures today within this gospel passage from the Gospel of St. John. The first one is Mary Magdalene. So we have Mary Magdalene and Martha. We've seen them within the Gospels before and even during this Lenten season. First of all, Martha and Mary, we know from the Gospel of Luke, receive the Lord in their home, Martha being the one doing all the serving, Mary being the one who is very contemplative. And then also at the raising of Lazarus, Martha going forward from the home, meeting Christ along the way before he can get to the town, and asking him, "Lord, why did you not come? Why, if you were here, you know, my brother would still be alive." Mary remains at the home and does not come until she is called. Then here we have the home of Martha and Mary. Christ has come to Bethany in order to dine with them. He's preparing himself for his crucifixion and seeing those whom he loved, that is Martha and Mary and Lazarus as well, and there's a banquet prepared. Some of the commentators would say that this is so that they might all might see that Lazarus really is indeed alive. It's not, you know, he can eat, he is healthy, and able to partake in all of the things of the living. And so he's here visiting with them during this. Mary comes to him and begins to anoint his feet with oil. This nard, this aromatic perfumed oil. And this is something very beautiful because we know that this is the same Mary who Christ forgives as being from her prostitution and from her adultery. So she is once in a time of penance at his feet in a certain way, bathed his feet already in her tears. By asking for forgiveness and by crying those tears of repentance. Now is the time that she has been reconciled from her sin, and she has grown over time to become a very close disciple and to live in very close communion with our Lord. And so what happens here is this is the anointing of communion, an anointing of a great, intimate, profound love for the one who has brought her from her sins, and she believes, because he has continued to preach, that he must go to Jerusalem and die. St. Augustine says that in a certain mystical way, this is the ointment of righteousness, right? Because she is giving thanks for his public ministry, for all those that she stands in the place of all those who he has healed, he has reconciled, he has brought back from the dead, and therefore the oil that she had was a perfect oil, something that was truly something priceless beyond even what Judas could have expected. And that brings us to the second figure, to the figure of Judas, who's very indignant at this action. John explains why. He says that, you know, Judas the Iscariot, you know, asks why this oil wasn't sold. He says this because he's greedy. He's cared for the money purse of the disciples. He's a very worldly person. And on top of whatever he has to distribute to the poor, John also tells us he was a thief and he used to steal the contributions. So Judas might say, why wasn't this sold? You know, so that he has access, you know, to the wages that this would have, or the money that this would have brought in. You know, why wasn't this sold? And yet we know that he's not going to give it all to the poor. He's going to keep some for himself. I think throughout the centuries, we see in the church certain Judas of Iscariots, whether it be bishops or priests who are not great administrators of the material goods of the church. And throughout time, we've even seen unworthy men who have stolen from the church and have harmed her in various ways by not administrating well her material possessions. But our Lord shows us and chooses Judas, knowing that he's a thief, knowing that he will betray him, chooses him to remind us that we should always place the administration of spiritual goods above those of material goods. It doesn't mean that we sweep, you know, theft or embezzlement or anything from the church under the rug, but it means that we should choose decent and trustworthy people to take care of those things so that the church can really concentrate on the spiritual goods of the church. That is, that Mary comes first in this story, and then Lazarus. So the church can always be able to stand up and say, look, here's a Mary. Here's someone who has been reconciled to our Lord. And if somebody, you know, profits off of that, you know, we'll leave that to Christ to judge at his second coming. But for now, we will continue to offer the sacraments and the spiritual well-being, first of all, in the church. And so during this Holy Week, our Lord himself on this Monday of Holy Week is preparing himself for the Passion. We too can really enter into this preparation, prepare ourselves to enter into the Sacred Triduum and the 3 days of his Passion, Death, and Resurrection, so that we might be a little less like Judas Iscariot, worry less about material gain and our own material possessions, but certainly turn to the Lord and be like Mary, who give thanks that he has set us free from our sins, reconciled us to himself, and continues to give us the grace of growth in our communion with him. In conclusion, let us go ahead and pray together the St. Michael prayer, as well as the intercessory prayer that the bishop sent to the priest to be prayed during the coronavirus outbreak. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of soul. Amen. Merciful Father, through the intercession of Blessed Mary, St. Roch, and St. Rosalie, deliver us from the current attack and subsequent suffering we are enduring from the coronavirus. May we seek to assist those in need in body or spirit, and ourselves turn away from sin and trust in you. We ask this in the name of the Divine Physician, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.